Ain't no show like a Monday show. Let's do it.
Welcome to the Fat to Fit or Else podcast, where we talk about fitness, food, motivation, and general angry rants from the fat man himself,
me.
Stretch Roberts. So get ready for all of the above with a side of bacon. Here is your host, Stretch.
Welcome back to another episode of Fat to Fit or Else. I am still the champion of the last week's challenge. I'm going to throw down a challenge right now. Start to show off the right way. Kick the week into gear. I am still kicking booty up on that carnivore diet, which do not believe the hype on the carnivore diet. Do not believe the hype on the carnivore diet. I can tell you, I don't feel bad. I just don't feel good. And I have been religiously sticking to the carnivore diet since June 5th is when I started. Yeah, I started June 5th. No, I'm take that back. I had cake on June 5th. That was the day after my birthday, and we had donuts and cake at work, and I partook in both. So it was June 6th I started, and I had a lot. That is exactly 10 days from today, and some strange stuff happened. There are no carbs in that diet whatsoever. You are just eating meat and fat, and that's it. So the fat being cheese or some form of dairy. And you got to watch it on a lot of the dairy, because a lot of dairy has stuff in it that gives it carbs. So cheese, meat, that's it. That's it. That's all I've been eating. And I've been doing a really good job. But I told you, bubble guts for the entire 10 days. Just like, and you would think too, everyone always tells me, God, you're doing a carnivore diet. That's like no veggies at all. You're going to be completely constipated. No. That is not the issue. At least not with me personally. That is not it. So there was that. But I also saw post after post after post after post on social media. Social media is so bad. It is so bad because it's BS. And there's no regulation on the BS. And I don't care if you're talking weight loss or fitness or workout routines or, I love the ghost stuff and all that junk. If you've ever wanted to hear my own ghost stories, they are here on this podcast. Once I kicked to season two, so I shut down the Big 49 where I was doing, or shut down my show in the Big 49 where I was doing the morning show, and I turned that into a podcast every day. And then I did three episodes just for fun because I was bored. I wasn't doing a 5-hour radio show every day anymore. And I did my paranormal stuff. I'm really into that. Long story short, lived in a haunted house in New Jersey when I was a DJ at the WPLJ in New York back in the early 90s. And I was a very young man, but that started my interest in that. So then I ended up working at several places that were haunted along the way as an adult, and my radio career was over. So weird. But all of that is bullcrap on social media. UFO stuff is all bullcrap on social media. Anything you read about the carnivore diet is bullcrap on social media. Anything you read about any diet is bullcrap on social media. Anything you read about somebody working out is bullcrap on social media. Social media, anything political, heaven help. And I don't care what party you're in. I don't care if you're a lefty or a righty. Doesn't work. We're all fat Americans that are trying to get skinny. That's what I worry about here on this show. But I don't care where you go. They're all full of crap. Like the right ones lie about the left and lie about what they've done. The left ones lie about the right and what they have done. It's all BS. There's no truth on social media. No, and what's funny is it's probably more authentic, though, than the mainstream media because they're all so biased. It's a weird world that we live in. And I know leading into this, I read all of the post and like people just swearing by the carnivore that it absolutely will reset your life in the first few days. And I have been 10 days and I don't feel great. I don't feel like I have a lot of energy. In fact, today's the first time I actually ate carbs because I started feeling dizzy. And I'm like, you know what? I'm still taking my diabetes medications, which is suppressing glucose, the metformin. It's what it does. It helps prevent your body from breaking everything down into glucose, and then that turns to sugar, and that affects your diabetes. So I still take that, and I'm not having eaten a single carb in 10 days is a big deal because I'm suppressing the glucose as well. And I'm like, man, my blood sugar may go real low and I may like pass out or have a seizure or something. So I'm like, if I'm feeling dizzy, I better go ahead and eat some carbs. I had a tortilla today. That's what I had. That was my carbs. And it was weird. I don't feel great, but I lost 10 pounds within 4 days, and then I've plateaued, and I've lost no more weight, and I'm not cheating. I will admit I'm eating more. I'm getting really dialed in on the carnivore diet, like what I can eat, what I can't eat. If I want to have a snack, if there's something I can make, there's a lot of stuff in there, and I'm expanding it a little bit because it's been brutal, like just steak, 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 a little bit of chicken, steak, steak, steak. There's days when I don't have a lot of time, so for my lunch, I literally will take a slice of cheese, stick it on some deli ham, roll it up, and have like six of those for lunch. And then I got to Costco on Friday, and I am loaded up now. I've got meat for days. I have problems this week eating all the meat before it goes bad that I have bought. I have like pre-made chicken skewers. I've got a lot of new lunch meat that I bought. I've got more just boneless, skinless chicken breast strips that I can heat and eat. Those need to be cooked. They're raw. But I have those. I've got pre-cooked burgers that are frozen. I bought a pack of those. I've already had a couple of them. And, you know, those are just a quick, oh, cool, I need something. Throw those in the microwave. And I can eat two burgers, put some cheese on them, and go to town. And a lot of that, a lot of eggs, a lot of that stuff. Over the weekend, I made for the first time carnivore bread. It sucked balls. I see these people eating it on social media, and they're like, oh, this is so good, you don't even know it's not bread. Bull effing crap is what I tell you. And this is what it is. The recipe I followed was a lot of eggs, cottage cheese, and mixed in with about half a cup of shredded pork. And you're like, well, that's disgusting. How do you make bread out of pork? It's not, it's, I guess, freeze-dried. If you ever got the stuff as a kid that look like, if you, you know, Skull comes in a round can and they had beef jerky in that and it was like dip, but it, so it looked like, literally when you open it, it looked like brown cotton in there and it was shredded beef. Well, I bought a humongous jar of that that is pork. It's just, it looks like when you open it up, it almost looks like cotton candy, but it is just freeze dried, shredded pork that is completely dried out. And that I think gives the bread some consistency. Not a lot of flavor, and it's salty. And I put that out there. I made that bread, and basically it tasted like if you were to cook some eggs in a frying pan really, really thin, never stir them or flip them, and then roll them into a burrito when you're done with it and eat it. That's what it tasted like, eggs. That's what it tasted like. Didn't taste the cheese, didn't have a bread effect to it at all. It wasn't good. I'll try some more recipes, but... And don't, I like eggs. I ate it. It wasn't horrible, and I didn't throw it out, but it wasn't good. Back to social media being full of effing crap. But I'm really doing great on the carnivore. Went to my parents' house for Father's Day. We had a barbecue there. I ate the crap out of meat. I had a couple of steaks and about 8 ribs probably. I mean, I ate, and then I brought a lot home, so I'm going to use that in my lunches. I also grilled at home on Saturday, and I grilled fish because I'm just trying to flip it up. You start, like I said, getting sick of beef, and I had some salmon and some swordfish, and I have a little of that left. That will have to be my lunch tomorrow because I do not want seafood, you know, grilled fish sitting around very long. It will be very gross very fast. And I promise you, when I go to work, I will go to the outside microwave at lunchtime to heat it because I'm not the douche that makes the office smell like fish. And if you're that person, you ever put fish in the microwave at work, you're a douchebag and everyone hates you. You're welcome, everyone that works with you from Stretch. I'm just telling you, that's a douche move. Don't do it. And if you're the douche that burns microwave popcorn in the office, everyone hates you. Don't do it. You're a douche. Those are two things that will stink up an office and everyone will hate you because you're stupid. Just saying. God, it's good to be stretch. It really is. So let's do the study. I have plateaued. I told you guys I hit 10 pounds, then I haven't lost a pound, haven't gained a pound since, which is weird. Last time I would go on the week, and then I would have a bender on the weekend, a cheat day or whatever, and then, like, I would gain a few pounds, and then I would come back, and I would diet the week, and I'm not doing that with carnivore. I'm sticking to it. I'm not getting off of it. I haven't done a cheat day yet, and besides getting a little dizzy and eating a tortilla to get some carbs in my body today. And by the way, after I ate it, I didn't just bounce back. And so I know it wasn't the diabetes kicking in at that point. It was just maybe the lack of energy of just having meat for 10 days. That's really rough. So I'm doing it and I'm getting through it. I will switch it at some point to keto, hopefully sooner rather than later. I want to go 30 days is my plan. So it's 20 more days before I can do that if I make it to 30 days. But I really want to see what happens with my weight now. The fact that I lost 10 pounds and then just came to a screeching halt, not working out, still not exercising, not allowed to. I had a physical therapy on one Thursday night. Did that. It was a much better experience than the time before. I have to tell you, I do not like the physical therapy place my doctor sent me to because every single session I haven't had the same person twice. I have a different therapist and they do a completely different thing. And some of them do not read my file and they have no clue what they're doing. And then some of them are really, really good. And they do, your doctor wants to do this. All right, your doctor needs to do this. So let's do this, this, this. And they follow the doctor's instructions. Some of them are like, yeah, just like stretch it out, bro. Lift this weight. You're like, well, I can't lift weights. Yeah, they're stupid. So there's that. Be very careful if you are doing physical therapy and make sure that your physical therapist is doing what your surgeon or real doctor has written out for you to do, and they will not check. So it is on you to make sure the right thing is being done. And I'm not going back to physical therapy. I've decided it is done for me. I feel good. I sleep. I don't have the pain in the shoulder at all anymore. And I'm doing stretches on my own. I'll do a little bit of stretching and I'll get it back to full function, but I'm not doing any more physical therapy. I don't trust them and I'm not going to do it anymore. So there is that. Now for the challenge for this week. I had 5 pounds last week. I did 10 in 4 days, and then I haven't lost a pound since. So I say we do another 5 pounds this week as I am still on doctor's orders not to lift weights or work out. So I am going to just do another 5 pounds. It's a 5 pound weight loss. I will weigh it in on Monday. It'll be a little different because it is Sunday night as I record this. So I will get up first thing in the morning and with my dangle bits dangling before I get in the shower, I will weigh myself and maybe I'll be down another pound or two from the weekend. But for the most part, I've been at 10 pounds solid all the way across. I did get for Father's Day from my family, I got another pair of Hokas, which is awesome. But here's my problem. I really like them. These are really good. The wider the bottom of the shoe, the better is what I know about any athletic shoe. And if you have foot problems, think of it as the principle of a snowshoe. You can walk on soft snow with a snowshoe because it's as wide as a tennis racket on your feet and it won't sink because your weight is evenly distributed over this wide area. So you don't sink. And then running shoes are much like that. So the wider the bottom of the shoe, and if you have a big wide foot, like I'm a big fat ass with a size 13 foot, my shoe is probably, it's way wider, probably another half inch on each side, the Hoka, at least the style that I have. And I got those and I like them and I'll wear them, but I can't wear them in any of my videos because of the Spira sponsorship. And I love Spira. Spira's great. I love Spira. They're freaking amazing. And I rock those Wave Maxes all the time. They're super, super comfortable. But Mean Spyro Lady will shoot me in the face. She's not messing around. I am not going to get shot in the face because my family keeps buying me Hokas. I got new pair of Hokas now. Now I have 4 pair of Hokas. I'm turning into like a shoe bitch is what I am. But I can't tell you how comfortable they are. And if you can get them at Ross for $89, do it. There's not a better deal. If you can get those shoes for that cheap, buy them. You will call me and say, Stretch, thank you. And same thing if you get the Spira Wave Maxes. You'll get those and you'll be like, dude, these are super comfortable. They really help for working out or walking or whatever. So go check all of those shoes out. They are all highly recommended in my world, as well as, you know, as my $30 Skechers. But only the memory foam Skechers are the ones that are comfortable. The other ones are kind of stiff and the cheap hard rubber on the bottom that is not super comfortable. And I need soft rubber bottoms, like very cushiony rubber bottoms, because of the pain in the arches of my feet. And if you've got foot problems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, let's get into some stories and studies and those sort of things. Here's something I talk about a lot, something that I personally take. In fact, literally 5 minutes before this podcast started tonight, I took my weekly injection of Ozempic. And I told you guys, I am a fat ass, near 300-pound man. And I got Ozempic, and my doctor, I love my, I have the best doctor in the world. And she does everything super cautious, with an abundance of caution. She tests this, does that, and she's amazing. She can be a pain in the butt, but she's amazing. And she got me on Ozempic for my diabetes, for my A1C number. It was a little high, and she gave me a little dose. And it didn't do anything. Did I say I'm a 300-pound man? She goes, that was to be expected. I was really just testing to see what your tolerance was, to make sure you didn't have any reactions to it, because you get heartburn and there are side effects to it. You should read them all, but you can have gnarly side effects on the Ozempic or on the, what's it, Wegovy. Any of those semiglutides can cause some nasty side effects. Now, I had zero, none. So she increased and got me to one ml, and I get these pens that are already set up, and it comes, I think there's about 3.5 in a one pen. It's like an EpiPen, and you give yourself a shot in the stomach. You literally do not feel it. I know that sounds cringeworthy if you have never done it, because I thought the same. And you just zap it, pop, 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 and you turn the dial on the pin, and then jab yourself and hold it until it clicks, and then you're done. Well, I do 1 ml. Then my A1C went to perfect, where I was showing up not even having diabetes. It was amazing. And then I got in, and my doctor, who is still, like I said, super cool, she's like, hey, you know, you're still carrying around some extra weight. Let's double this Ozempic to 2 ml a week instead of 1. And I said, no, because my A1C is fine, and I'll lose this on my own. I'll do this my way. And she's like, okay, fine, whatever, idiot. And that's what I've been doing. But the A1C is under control because of the Ozempic. Now, I tell you all the time about the people that do not need Ozempic for diabetes, the people that are simply taking this crap for weight loss. And most of them don't need to lose weight, especially on what is being marketed as an obesity drug, because that's what this stuff is. It's really potent. And the side effect of it that they found out that made it the wonder drug of diets, and they say is bankrupting gyms and diet places like Jenny Craig and all that, are losing their ass, because anyone that can afford that crap just spin it on Ozempic and are shooting themselves up with that and dropping weight, doing absolutely nothing. But with a cost. I preach this here because if you see it and you're like, wow, this is really great, I want to tell you, and I want you to know that it comes at a cost, a steep cost if you don't have a prescription. Like, literally, I pay $25 for it on my prescription, and I think it's $800 a dose, or you know, or a month, or whatever I get it at, if I don't have insurance, or more, up to $2,000 some places. So, which is insane. But what it does, it makes you not hungry. That's what they found out. It your body sends the signal that, hey, I'm not hungry. So you're like, cool, I don't overeat and I don't eat a bunch of crap. I'm not hungry, I'm good. And what happens when you don't feed your body? Well, first off, you start losing a ton of weight and you start looking great. And then you realize most of that weight you lost was muscle. That's what I preach here. Muscle, muscle. You should be eating protein, 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 protein. And even if you're on one of these things and you're losing weight, you should be if I was doing Ozempic to lose weight only, and it wasn't a diabetes thing and I was trying to get skinny, I would probably do Ozempic on the carnivore diet, or at least on keto. I would keep the carbs low and I would pump the protein, pump the protein, pump the protein to try to save all of my muscle and definitely mandatory, do 3 to 4 days a week of resistance weight training. And I'm not saying you got to go out there and be Arnold Schwarzenegger and throw the weights around, but just do some muscle pumping exercises to maintain some muscle mass, because you will lose it and it will be bad. Now I go to my story after my long preach session here. I apologize. But this story today is coming out of the UK, where apparently you can just go online, order up a doctor, much like the marijuana doctors of America, where you're like, oh, dude, I totally need the weed card. I can't sleep. I got depression. I got this. And then they just say, here you go. It's $300 and they write it. Well, they're doing that with Ozempic and Wegovy over in the UK. And what they are seeing is a crap load of eating disorder styled women in particular coming into the ERs with all kinds of bad, bad stuff, some of it potentially fatal. And here's what's happening. When they do their online survey with the doctor to get their prescription for their Ozempic or their Wegovy, they are lying about their weight. And like I said, remember, I'm a 300-pound man. For me to be on a weight loss version of Ozempic, I know from my weight, it needs to be 2 ml. I'm taking one per week, and it's got my A1C perfect, so we're not pushing it. But the doctor's like, you want to lose weight? We'll pump this to 2, and you'll start cranking out the weight. And I'm like, no, I don't want the side effects, and it's got my A1C, which is all I'm worried about. But other people don't care. They just want to look good. Well, here's what's happening in the ERs across the UK right now. Young women showing up taking the dose of like a 300-pound man. So they're probably taking what I should be taking or more to lose weight. But in the beginning, they're only like 150 pounds. And they're dumping all of their muscle. And then the body, they end up with an inflammation of the pancreas, which is really, really bad. And alterations in their blood salt levels, they are noticing, which are very common as people come into the ER. But the biggest thing of all that they see is a lot of women are treated for basically starvation. And when you go into starvation mode, you suffer from a thing called ketoacidosis. And that is a life-threatening condition. That is where the body breaks down muscle because it's got no fat left. There is no fat. And it's still trying to sustain itself. So it starts eating the muscle, eating the muscle, eating the muscle, eating the muscle. And remember, your body will always try to save fat, and it will cannibalize muscle always because it's starving. And it's like, well, I'm going to need this fat later, and I better burn the other fuel. And it burns the good stuff that you need later on in life to get your metabolism spike. So we're going to see an interesting time when if they start to really regulate the Ozempic and Wegovy, or if they stop making it so easily available to dum-dums, because dum-dums, you're going to have some dead people. You probably already have them, I would imagine, who have basically just gave themselves an eating disorder with a prescription drug and then killed themselves with ketoacidosis or with just becoming like anorexic. So there's a lot of really bad stuff. So be very, very careful if you are going to do one of those. I highly recommend it, though, as a diabetes medication. If you have type 2 diabetes, I'm the Ozempic changed the game for me. Absolutely did. And that was with me not always eating good and not always working out. It was still doing really good things with my A1C. All right, let's get into a study I found. And this one basically said that just by walking, remember, I know running will burn more calories. And if you're on the rapid weight loss, like everyone wants to do, look at the Ozempic numbers we just talked about. If you want to lose weight, you are going to, you know, you'll push it. You'll be like, well, walking burns calories. I bet running will burn even more. So I'm going to do running. And I always preach against running because it's really bad for your body in the long run, especially if you're middle-aged or older. And what they've realized in this study, and I really like this, one thing, if you ever see you'll never see a bodybuilder running, someone with muscle running. They don't run because their body will start burning their muscle and not their fat, and all they care about is burning fat. Walking burns fat much more efficiently than jogging or running. So it's pretty cool, and that's known. But now they're realizing you can get even more out of a walk just by varying your step patterns. Now, it's not significant, but every little bit counts. And what they did is they said, they got all the people in this study and they instructed them. They got young people. These people were all 24 years old in that ballpark, and over 2,000 of them. And they had them vary their step distance between 5 and 10%, either shorter or longer than their normal stride, and constantly flip it up throughout their walk. And what they found was that there was a 2.7% increase in step length variability created an almost 2% boost in your metabolism than just going for a walk itself. And like I said, almost 2%, not even quite 2%. So if you just vary longer step, shorter step, shorter step, longer step, and just kind of keep alternating it throughout your walk, if you're a young person, you're looking at about a 2% increase in your metabolism, which will help you burn that fat. So very good way to burn a little extra fat. I like that more than I like you taking a drug that could have incredible harmful side effects. And especially if you're younger, you're invincible at this point. I know you feel like it because you are. You fall down, you're made of rubber, you don't break, you get back up, your metabolism is still working, everything's still firing. If you're older, that's when people start doing the shortcuts, or you've done stupid stuff earlier in your life, such as myself, where you just harpooned your fat ass as far as your metabolism by doing dumb things. I've talked about steroids and all the fun stuff I did as a younger man, which totally made me stop. I went into what they call menopause, where my body stopped producing hormones. So if I want hormones, I got to inject them, and they are testosterone. And that's another thing, to build muscle, and that's good. All right, now, as far as being on my semaglutide, it's really good because I'm also on testosterone, and that helps keep muscle and build muscle. And now I'm doing all protein, and I'm not eating carbs. I'm doing the right stuff to lose weight. Now it's just, can you finish the race? Can you keep it going? Right, 10 pounds in a week, sweet. See where I am in 4 weeks, which is the goal for the carnivore diet. All right, and here is a story about men, and I break all of these things that men have problems with. Recent survey done over 2,000 men in the United States of America, the men they discovered feel incredibly uncomfortable discussing their current health due to privacy concerns, said 61% of them, yet 39% of them said embarrassment. And some of them, 17%, said they feel less manly if they talk about their health concerns. And this is all health, and mental health is one in particular that men are really prone to because they won't discuss it with anyone. They won't seek help. Men are much less likely to seek therapist and have those feelings of shame or those feelings of being less manly or a man doesn't do this. And that's a sad state that we're in that, but a lot of men won't seek it. Well, it's the same thing for men in their regular health too, not just mental health. They said 6 in 10 said they feel insecure in themselves, which is 63%. And then 61% said that they feel lonely, that they are lonely at times. And I can tell you that, you know, it's just, those are both psychological. Both of those are mental health. So the study goes on and on. The important thing that men do not want to talk about or discuss is erectile dysfunction, 38%, and obesity, 10%, and depression, 10%. I will talk about all of it here, which means I am the freak of nature. I am the unicorn in the manly man world that will talk about everything. That's this. If I don't talk about it, I don't have a podcast. So there we go. If there's anything out there, I will address it. But they say men who said they currently have experienced ED saw a decreased sexual interest by 62%, lowered self-confidence by 61%, and that's a big deal for a dude, and an increased rate of depression by 40% of the men in the survey. So if you're a dude, talk to your doctor. That's what your doctor's for. And see your doctor. I know that's the worst. Men will not seek medical attention. Oh, dude, rub some spit on it. It'll be fine. Nah, and the older you get, the less true that is. To some degree, with young people, that's true. And you can get away with it for a long time. But then when you go to the doctor and realize, holy crap. Like, I have a family member in our family who, I don't know if they passed out or what happened, but they ended up going to the ER. and they found out they had insane diabetes that had been untreated for a very long time. They didn't even know they had it. They had insane high blood pressure. They were knocking on death's door and didn't even know it. And if they hadn't passed out, they probably would have just ended up having a heart attack or a stroke or something and dying. But they finally caught it and started, you know, adjusting everything. Very important as you get older, especially if you're a knucklehead dude that likes to drink and not eat right and not take care of yourself. And even if you do, you should still see a doctor. There's all kinds of cancers you can have. There's all kinds of colorectal cancer is on the rise, and they're seeing it more and more in younger men and women. So see your doctor, get checked out. And if not, do it for yourself, do it for your family, or whatever you need to tell yourself to make yourself do it, because you need to do it. I see the doctor all, I hate my doctor. I see them so much because I'm on so many medications trying to keep my fat ass in line that they make me come in every 3 months. And you know what? I'm glad I have to go in every 3 months to see my doctor in order to get my refills on my prescriptions, because they won't refill them. And then they'll check stuff and be like, oh, this is off. Well, this is off. Oh, now we got to watch this. And I can tell you right now, my doctor's going to be pissed when I go in there soon, because the last time she saw me, which was 2 days before my surgery, she said, oh, yeah, I need you to take this test and I need this one urgently. And I never did it because I had my freaking shoulder surgery. And I was like, yeah, go F yourself. I'm a freaking handicapped freaking pain and I am not doing anything. I'm finally coming out of that, so I'm going to go back in and see her, and I'm going to get an earful from that doctor. But your doctor's on your side, and if you don't tell them, they don't know, and you don't lie about your family history. If you've got heart disease or diabetes or whatever in the family, tell the doctor, be honest, and do the test. You're a big boy, and you'll be all right. All right. Here's another one. I talked about this on the very last show. The new condom that is $100 a box that's sweeping the nation. Well, now we have another condom. Time to get your freak on. This is not for the ED people, because you won't be needing one because your willy doesn't work. I made a joke and made you more self-conscious. Now they say this new condom from a Colombia-based condom maker is very interesting. It's called the pre-erection condom. And you put this thing on and just roll it over your limp willy, and it sticks and stays for a few hours. And it's called the Camera C2 Smart Condom that magically stretches over a flaccid penis. And then as the penis grows, it just adapts, and then you can have sex. So you don't need to get hot and heavy, then say, hold on, and pull out the condom, and then rip it, and then shove it on your whacker while it's ready to go. This thing's ready to go way before you ever are. It's like, here's what's weird. If you have ED and you take an ED pill, slap on your condom on your limp dick, and then you go to town, and you're good. So it doesn't say how much these are, but it is a new condom, and it is a new thing. I don't know how it stays on. If I'm using a condom, that means you're trying to avoid pregnancy or STDs or both. And I really want to have faith in that. I want to be 100% certain that works. I don't want to try. All right, I'll throw this on. Oh, it came off. I didn't even know it. I put it on 4 hours ago. Wow, that's weird. So interesting. Let's get into my final. It's not study, but it's cool in the world of our health. And it's basically smart guys got together from two different fields and created AI and an algorithm that can pretty much predict your risk of sudden cardiac death from a 1 minute heart rate measurement while you were at rest. The study was carried out by interdisciplinary, that is the collaboration between cardiologist and computational physicist. They got together, they made this new method, and just by monitoring that, it can tell you your risk of having a sudden cardiac death event. And remember, we're seeing that on the rise now, and I've talked about this, and you may think I'm political on it or not, but after the COVID vaccines, we saw a lot of healthy people getting a lot of strange heart things. And no one's answered to that yet. And Fauci was up lying his butt off. Yeah, it's crazy. So like I say, can't trust anyone, but hopefully trust your doctor. And I know the doctors were pushing the vaccines too, and I got them all. Like I said, I had to for work, but I'm not ever getting another one. And I'll tell you, and I meant this, my mother had a heart attack last year, came out of the hospital less than 5 days later, got COVID from a person at her work. And I'm like, oh, my mom's dead. That's one of the biggest things. If you've got heart issues and you get COVID, you're dead. And she was fine in 5 days. And she's 75 years old now with a heart condition. And 5 days later, bam, was fine. So I'm like, wait a minute. I am much younger and healthier than my mom. I know if I get it, I can ride it out. I'll be okay. I'm still, knock on wood, have not had the COVID. I'm about the only person I know that hasn't had the COVID. Myself and my daughter. My wife's even had it, but neither my wife, my daughter, or myself have had it. My son's had it twice. Like, a lot of people have had it. Everyone else in my family has had it. My dad didn't get it either. My dad has never had it. So, could be genetic, too. There could be a thing where we're not supposed to get it as other people. I don't know, because my father never got it either, and he was in the house with my mom taking care of her the whole time she had it. And he's older than she is. Oh, boy. Fun times. I hope I was informative at least today and gave you some information that can help you and make you live longer. That is the ultimate goal. I am past the 30-minute mark, so I got to get up out of here. But it is Fat to Fit or Else. You can always reach out to me on Instagram. Send me a DM if you follow me on Instagram, which is just Fat to Fit or Else. I put some stuff up there, and I am about to say F it and get back in the gym because I just really need to. And I hope you guys have a great week. I will be back with a bonus pod at the end of the week, give you an update on the challenge for this week. So it is 5 pounds, and I will stick with – I'm going to double down. I'm going to say 5 pounds this week, or I have to do brush my teeth with the bacon toothpaste, and I'll give myself some shock collars here on the podcast that you can listen to when we come around to the next week's show. Not the bonus pod coming up this Friday. It won't be done yet. But I'll know if I beat it already by then, because I'm a champion. So you guys have a great week. I will talk to you again very soon. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see ya.